Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Unlimited Realities Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Zimmer, and today we have a wonderful guest. I'm so very excited to bring all of her wisdom and gifts to you today, Arielle Ford, author of The Soulmate Secret. We're gifted with her wisdom today, and I'm not going to waste too much time introducing her, as she has so much information to give us. So, Arielle, thank you so much for being on Unlimited Realities today.
Oh, thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, I appreciate it very much. Our listeners have been very excited to hear this show. And I guess, you know, we're talking about, of course, a personal love topic for myself as well. It's soulmates, and anyone who is really seeking that divinity of a connection and that partnership of a sacred union really will resonate with your book, The Soulmate Secret. I read it in a sitting. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to do anything until I completed it. And then as soon as I finished reading your book, I wanted to get into the exercises and the rituals. So it was full of not only personal love and stories, but it was full of so many tools. And can we talk a little bit about how we can recognize a soulmate versus someone we're just attracted to, that there's certain qualities or certain attributes or feelings that we may have stirring from us? Don't you agree in regard to connecting with our soulmate?
Yeah, so some soulmate couples, when they meet, they know instantly, but that's really, really rare. Usually, you know, you want to take some time to get to know somebody to see if there's chemistry and compatibility and communication and all those important things. And then there's other soulmate couples I've heard about who really didn't know until they'd been married. You know, like they knew everything was right and they felt good enough to jump in and get married, but it was a year before they really said, oh, this is my soulmate. So it's different for everybody, which is why it's really important that you create a soulmate wish list at the beginning of the process, that you put down on paper the heart qualities and traits that you want your soulmate to possess. So you have a checklist to go back to. So if you're dating somebody and you're uncertain, you can look and see, you know, are they really what your heart's calling for? And if they're not, then you can move on. Does that make sense?
Yes, very much so. And also, I think it gives you a little bit of clarity in regard to zoning in on really your intention. Because a lot of times, you know, you think you know what you want until you really get down to the nitty-gritty of really deciphering, okay, this really didn't work last time, and this quality I really do need now because I've moved past that or I've evolved through this. So, you know, as we grow and change, I think our list also changes, don't you think, a little bit?
Yeah, and you mentioned something really important. It's good to go back to look to the past to create the future, because if you see that you have a pattern with a particular kind of relationship, you might want to do some healing work around that before dealing with these very powerful prayers and rituals and processes, because if you don't deal with it, you're just going to create the same thing over and over again, which isn't going to make you happy. So
right.
If you see that, you know, like my pattern was I was with self-centered, narcissistic men who had bad relationships with their mother who couldn't commit. And I had done enough work on myself to know that some of that was my problem, that I was pulling that
okay.
in. So there was more deeper work for me to do. And then to really look and see what's the qualities and what kind of relationship and what kind of lifestyle is really going to feed my heart, you know. And I knew that it wasn't the type that I'd been with before. I was going after these high-powered Fortune 100 CEO types who were married to their careers, when really what I needed for me was somebody that had the time and energy and interest in putting their attention on me and focusing on me and supporting me.
Right. Wonderful. And that brings up a great point also in regard to, you know, again, we believe we want something, we believe we're ready for something, and oftentimes we have unresolved issues from our past and blocks and things that, you know, are consciously or unconsciously preventing us from moving ahead positively to get that relationship or to get that, that goal or that achievement or that, that, that connection.
Yeah.
What would be some common blocks that you've encountered with people in finding true love? You know, it's like there's a theme there for a lot of people.
Yeah, the thing that I see most frequently is people have beliefs, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too damaged, I'm too broke, or my favorite one is this one, all the good ones are taken. And it's absolutely, none of that is true. You know, love has nothing to do with any of those factors. Right now there are almost 7 billion people alive on the planet. Half of them are single. Statistically, the odds are totally in your favor that you're going to find love if you put a little time and energy and intention and attention onto your love life. Because people are running around out there like, well, if it's meant to be, it'll just happen. Now, imagine if you needed a job and you were walking around saying, well, if it's meant to be, it'll just happen, and you sat on your couch all day. What are the chances the job is going to come knock on your door? Like none, right?
Right.
So, you know, you've manifested work before, right? You made a resume, you networked, you went online, you went to interviews, you had a plan, a vision, an action plan, and you found work. Now, why wouldn't you do that in your love life? Why wouldn't you do that for you as opposed to living in this fairy tale? Well, if it's meant to be, it'll just happen.
And that's a great point because in a lot of ways, you know, there's a misconception in regard to manifesting I've found in talking to people that a lot of times they miss that important point of action and they look at the visualization and they look at the – they may even get the emotional piece in addition with the visualization, but they miss that – you know, tuning into that inner voice to take the action or take the steps or to get online. And you talk a little bit about this. Actually, you have a chapter on this in the Soulmate Secret. And you talk a lot about, you know, taking action for the right place at the right time and, you know, setting an intention and following it up with an action. And also, you know, there's a piece with people that I believe there's a feeling that they really need to move through of a deserving point. There's a stepping out of their box and feeling comfortable in being uncomfortable in seeking a soulmate.
Well, yeah, I ask people
to change,
a little bit. Yeah, change up your routine. You know, if you're doing the same thing every day, going to the same places and you're not meeting anybody new, well, maybe it's time to do something a little different, you know. Go someplace new. You know, one of the greatest things you can do is if there's a hobby or an activity that you've always wanted to do but you've never done it, start now. I have this great story about this man that I was coaching who so wanted to manifest his soulmate. And he had everything figured out, including the wedding and the honeymoon. And he always used to tell me, oh, my honeymoon, we're going to go kayaking off the San Juan Islands to see the whales, and it's just going to be so beautiful. And the third time he brought it up, I said, you know what? You need to go do that right now. Stop waiting. That is such a passion for you. You need to go do the kayaking trip. And he argued with me, and I said, no, I'm getting this really strong hit. You need to do this. So he went, and he did this, and guess what happened? The woman in the kayak next to him turned out to be his wife. And, of course, on their honeymoon, they went kayaking again. So, you know, if there's stuff that you want to do, it's like I talk to so many women who are, you know, they've got these shredded old towels and linens with holes in them. And it's like, why don't you buy new towels? Oh, when I get married and I register, then I'll get new towels. No, get them today. This is your body
right.
That needs to be surrounded in beauty and comfort. Do it now.
Right.
Stop waiting for someday. It's about having a great life right now because you're worth it. And then when the lucky guy or gal shows up, they'll appreciate that you care enough about yourself to surround yourself with beautiful, comfortable things.
That's right. And the self-love aspect, because a lot of times it's almost like everyone's putting their own love on the back burner because they're waiting for it to be fulfilled by someone else instead of recognizing that the self-love is really the furnace. It's really
exactly.
The furnace that keeps everything burning. And, that's why self-pampering and, I love bubble baths and great food and it's like, beautiful flowers. It's like, really take in the intoxication of what natural beauty and God provides in every day. And I really think that really helps bring that resonance in as well.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
Now, can we look at, you talk a lot also, and this also comes into play of what we were just talking about, the living as if. I mean, what can people do in addition to living as they are encouraging that soulmate into their lives? Like, there's certain things
sure.
you include in the book, how to get ready to prepare.
Let's first define law of attraction. So the law of attraction states, we draw to us the people, places, and experiences that match our state of being. So when we're in the state of being, I'm so excited. My perfect right partner is on the way. I am so filled with joy. I'm so grateful for my incredible life, and I have so much love already in my life from my friends and my family and my pets. I'm just so excited. Or you could be in the state of mind like, I'm so pissed off, frustrated, and resigned. I'm unlucky in love. It's never going to happen for me. As much as I want love, poor me, it's not going to happen. Now, which attitude do you think is magnetizing love, right? It's pretty clear. So part of the process is to retrain your mind to become emotionally mature and start to manage your thoughts and emotions so that you're living in this place of knowing and trusting that what you've asked for is already yours. And this takes practice. You can't just, let yourself spin off down the rabbit hole when you're having all these negative thoughts. And I've got an exercise for that. So, we all have our days when we doubt, right? And we just, oh, it's never going to happen. It's too late for me. And when you're in that space, I recommend that you get out your egg timer, set it for 3 minutes, and for the next 3 minutes, you have to have every conceivable negative thought about why it's not going to happen for you and why you don't deserve it, and, just really torture yourself. No positive thinking allowed. And I promise you, if you do this diligently, you won't be able to do it for 3 minutes, that you will start laughing, because the sane part of you is going to recognize that it's just not true. And what you'll be doing
right.
is releasing this energy as opposed to denying it. And then once you release the energy, then you can set the egg timer for another 3 minutes and write down all kinds of wonderful affirmations about how loving and kind you are, how deserving you are of love, how much love you already have in your life, how excited you are that love's on the way to you. And that's a totally different energy. So the next part of that is what I call living as if. So if I said to you, I guarantee you with 100% certainty that in 91 days, your soulmate will arrive, chances are lots of things would begin to shift for you. You'd wake up smiling. You'd take more care with your appearance. You'd be living in this field of excitement and anticipation. Whatever was incomplete with your old relationships, you'd be getting it complete. You'd be getting your home ready. You might be buying tickets to concerts and plays that you're going to go with your beloved to someday. You might even be buying birthday cards or I love you just because cards. If you were having random casual sex with somebody down the block just because it was fun, you'd stop doing that because that would be like cheating on your soulmate, right? You would be living
right.
as if. You'd be knowing and trusting that the one you've asked for is already yours and on the way. And when you do that, it's opening up the doors. The cosmic welcome mat is open. They can hear you. They can feel you. Because the truth is, at the most core level, we're already connected to our soulmate because we're connected to everybody. And it's about welcoming them in. Is that making sense?
Okay. Yeah, that makes so much sense because it's an energy that we're either pulling in or we're pushing away, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, if you're hearing this and you're thinking, well, I've tried that, I've been there, I saw The Secret, it didn't work for me, you know, a couple of things. The Secret left out the most important part of the process, which is the emotional component. Because you can write affirmations all day long and you can visualize in your mind's eye all day long, but if the feeling that you have is that you don't deserve it or it can't happen, that's what's going to override everything else. So the emotional component is critical, which is why in the Soulmate Secret I have these processes that I call feelingizations. So a feelingization is a visualization, but it has an emotional component that matches what you're asking for. And that's the secret sauce.
That's beautiful. And actually, when you go into that place, you feel a little spark. It feels like there's a connection. There's a connection within. You can feel it. You can see it. There's a resonance that takes over. And I love how you write this book in a way that's your personal story. But you offer so many tools and so many clearing aspects to it, because the crux of this is we can do all of these things, but if we aren't loving ourselves and forgiving ourselves and moving through our stuff that's accumulated through bad relationships or upbringing or whatever, you know, we're only doing half the job. We're really not clearing the path completely to allow that sacred relationship to develop. And you also, this I love because I'm a big bath person. I use bathtubs for grounding. I use bathtubs for meditation. I love the bathtub. So one of your rituals that you have in here is to use bath salts and candles and to use that as a cleansing. Is there anything else that we can add to the listeners in regard to giving some nurturing in regard to forgiving themselves and releasing and rituals for cleansing?
Well, yes. I mean, I really believe that forgiveness is the first and most important step, because we first need to forgive ourselves for anything that we believe we've done wrong in the past in the area about relationships. And then we need to forgive anyone that we're judging as having done us wrong. So that's really critical, because if you don't clean up the past, you drag it with you into the future. And you're not forgiving to put them off the hook. You're forgiving so you can let go and move on. And one of the simplest ways to get into this mode is to write a letter. Not that you're ever going to send this letter. You're never going to send it. But write a letter in which you tell this person the absolute truth of how it was for you. But you end the letter by saying, you know what, I forgive you, I bless you, I release you. And then, here's the hard part, you write a letter from them to you. You channel them, and you write yourself a letter as if you're them about what the experience was like from their point of view. And again, you end it by saying, I forgive you, I bless you, I set you free. And if you find that you're really, really stuck and that doesn't work for you, this is why God created therapists and coaches. There are trained professionals out there who in just a few sessions can help you. And, you know, I know people sometimes are resistant to that, but all of us need help sometimes. Like when my computer breaks down, I do not get out my screwdriver and try to take it apart and fix it. I know full well I don't know how to fix my computer. I call Steve, the tech guy. You know, if you've been suffering with the same repetitive issue over and over again and you haven't fixed it yourself and you haven't found a book that's going to fix it, get some help. Why continue to suffer? And if you do continue to suffer, then you need to know that that's a choice you're making.
Yes, yes.
You know, don't be a victim.
And that's exactly right. And that's, you know, there's so much of a need for that personal empowerment, but by having that personal empowerment, it's taking responsibility for our stuff as well. And that's empowering to get through that and clear that out, and such a freedom, such a feeling of, of connectedness and grounded to pull in that soulmate, to pull in that equal half. And you have a beautiful story. It's such a wonderful story that I've heard personally through someone that we know, and also in your book. And it resonates so incredibly. Would you mind sharing how you met Brian, your soulmate?
Sure, absolutely. So I was very fortunate to learn all of this 25 years ago, and I used it in my career for many, many years. And I had a great company. I did book publicity for a lot of the biggest best-selling authors, Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, Marianne Williamson, Neil Donald Walsh, lots and lots of folks. And then one day, at the age of 44, I woke up and realized I'd forgotten to get married. And I started thinking about, what would it take for me to have a soulmate? Really, what would it take? And I decided to see if all of the prayers and rituals and processes I had used in my career, I wondered, would they work on my love life? And I really didn't know. But I started to apply them. And within 6 months, it did work. I met Brian. The day that we met, we knew. We got engaged 3 weeks later. And a year after that, we had 3 weddings. So then I forgot about all of it, right? After all the weddings, I didn't think about it again. And then every time I would meet a single woman and they would meet Brian, they would pull me aside and they'd say to me, how do I get a Brian? So I'd sit down and I'd spend hours with them sharing my process. So eventually it became obvious I needed a book, and the book is now in 21 languages. I've gotten emails and letters and Facebook messages from thousands of men and women around the world for whom this has worked. It's even worked for my 80-year-old mother-in-law. So, you know, it this stuff works if you work it. But it doesn't work if you just buy the book and you look at the book. You actually have to read the book and do some of the exercises. You don't have to do all of them, but some of them.
Well, you know, what happened for me was I read the book when I first got the book. It was given to me as a gift, and I read it immediately on the first part, thinking that, sure, I had gone through my releasing and my emotional, letting go and loving and all of this. And what I was doing, I was manifesting what I was putting out there, but there was something missing. And what I went back in to realize within myself was that I needed to open up my heart more. That as much as I thought my heart was open and may have been open, for myself, it was not nearly as open as it needed to be. And so I was pulling in people who were open-hearted or loving people or great souls or even a soul connection for me. But there was something missing because I wasn't completely open and I hadn't completely excavated everything I thought I had. And so it was an additional clearing process for me that I had to go in and address. So I really value that process that you provide in the book on how to be gentle with ourselves in going through that process of, you know, forgiving ourselves and loving ourselves and understanding what has transpired and what grew out of it, or if need be, get a good therapist. And, you know, you have this in here in so many ways that there's encouragement along the path throughout the book with stories of soulmates and people connecting and your own beautiful story with Brian. Two of the most important things that I think we didn't bring in that are so important and often ignored is the free will aspect, and also when you make the list and you're releasing it to the universe and God and you're entrusting that everything's in divine order, but also taking the steps and the actions that need be. There's that free will aspect that is really important too, to trust the timing
because,
and surrender to that timing.
There's a balance between the part of our life in which we have free will and the part that is predestined. And the part in which we always have free will is in our response to the circumstances. And the part that we don't have control over is the divine timing. You know, I just got a call yesterday from a good friend of mine who was married for 20 years, divorced for 10 years, beautiful, successful, wonderful, loving being, and for the last 5 years has just been so confused as to why she hasn't been able to manifest a soulmate, regardless of what she did. And she called to tell me she's in love. She met the right guy.
Aww.
And she couldn't be happier.
Wonderful.
And she said to me, I now know why it took so long, because her new soulmate, his wife just died 6 months ago. So for the last 5 years, he's been taking care of his sick wife. She's now been dead for six months, and they just met, and they knew. They knew, and they're going to spend the rest of their life together. So, you know, I always tell people, like, it's not your job to know how or when or where you're going to meet them. It's your job to be open, willing, and available, and then savor the waiting till the right time, because I promise you, when you do meet them, two things will happen. One is that you'll know that they were worth waiting for, and two, you'll know that it's a good thing you didn't meet a day sooner because it wasn't the right time.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful, and that's a wonderful thought to end the show upon. But I also want to address a wonderful opportunity you're giving everybody on the Internet that's going on right now. And when this airs, there'll still be a few days left for it. It's the Soulmate Summit that you and Claire Zammit have provided for. Is it over 50,000 listeners that you have?
We have 60,000 people participating in the Ultimate Soulmate Summit, and you can find it online, ultimatesoulmatesummit.com. We have 25 of the world's top love experts giving free advice on how to manifest love, so go to ultimatesoulmatesummit.com. And then I also want to let you know that my book is available at soulmatesecretbook.com. And if you go to that site, soulmatesecretbook.com, when you buy the book there, it comes with lots of free downloadable goodies, including a 90-minute audio workshop and a visioning video and an e-book and all kinds of cool stuff. So come visit me online or find me at facebook.com/soulmatesecret.
Oh, wonderful. Ariel, thank you so very much for being on Unlimited Realities. This has been a true gift for me to interview you and also for all the listeners that are going to get so much out of this. And I truly recommend everyone to pick up The Soulmate Secret by Ariel Ford. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift you're going to give yourself, and it's something that's really going to help empower you and set you on the right thinking track to pull in and create that sacred relationship for yourself. Ariel, God bless you. Thank you so much for being on Unlimited Realities.
Right,
thank you.
Care.
Have a wonderful week. Take
Thanks.
Care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.